Oh, yeah, I have the illness. I can't deny that. I've got the illness. Or I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, I can't deny that. But you know what I can deny? You know what I can't receive? Is the fact that all this garbage that the devil was going to bring along with it. But see, and that's where we get into the problem sometimes, is that we receive all that stuff. Well, you know, I got a report that I got sick. Oh, you know, let me go home and sit in front of my rocking chair and just waste away my days. Let me just pine away my day. Oh, you know, I'm broke. I can't do this. You know, I might as well not even go over there because I don't have this. And I don't see you received all that stuff. The devil is not so much concerned about your illness. He's not concerned about your illness. You know what the devil is concerned about? He's concerned about how you handle your illness. That's what he wants.
The teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of The Shield of Faith, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of The Shield of Faith, Part 2.
And tore his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped God. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What did Job do? Job threw up the shield of faith. Satan was trying to take him down. Satan was trying to get him to go back to places that he had been before. But Job put up the shield of faith. He said, man, I'm going to continue to trust God. He said, even though things might be falling down around me, even though I might have lost family and possessions, I'm going to continue to trust God. Where else can I go? Who else can I turn to? And in all this, the scripture says, Job, sin not, nor charge God foolishly. But guess what? Satan wasn't through. He wasn't through. He came to God again, and he said, let me touch his body. Let me touch his life. And what will he do? He'll moonwalk on you, God. Job will moonwalk on you. He will slide back away from you. He will turn away from you. He will backslide. And God said, yeah, go ahead, but don't take his life. And so he hits Job again. And Job could have fallen into the arrow of Satan. But what did he do? In verses 9 and 10, he put up that shield of faith again. He put it up. His wife said unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What, shall we receive good at the hand of God and not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? The shield of faith. My brothers and sisters, I'm about practical preaching. I'm about practical preaching. I don't want to give you something that you walk out of here and say, well, how in the world do you apply that? Job, right here, is an example that when Satan hits you, that you need to turn and you need to put your trust in God and you need to say to the devil, look, for God I live and for God I'll die. I'm on a battlefield for the Lord. God has blessed me so much that no matter what difficulties can come my way right now, I'm not going to turn away from him. You know, I'm amazed at how easily some of God's people are just moved and they get frustrated and they turn around and they turn away from God because of a satanic attack. You know, I've been wrestling with something, and I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you. You know, when I hear people say, you know, I'm not going to receive that. You know, the devil's a liar. I'm not going to receive that. I've had problems with that. I really have had problems with that. But as I was meditating and studying, the Lord gave me a new light on this thing. And I don't know what a lot of people say or mean when they say that, but God gave me a new light on this situation. And the light that he gave me is this, is that Satan attacked Job, and Job didn't receive it. Oh, and you know the problem I've had? People have had cancer. They got cancer. The doctors say they got cancer. They got cancer in their body. They're sick because of cancer. And they say the devil is a liar. I'm not going to receive it. Well, I think to myself, well, whether you receive it or not, that's what you got. You know? And so I struggle with that. But you know what I think? The correct way to interpret that or to think about that is this. Is that you are not going to receive. The devil is a liar. And I'm not going to receive all this negativity that he's bringing around this illness. Oh, yeah, I have the illness. I can't deny that. I've got the illness. Or I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. You know, I can't deny that. But you know what I can deny? You know what I can't receive? Is the fact that all this garbage that the devil is going to bring along with it. But see, and that's where we get into the problem sometimes. Is that we receive all that stuff. Well, you know, I got a report that I got sick. Oh, you know, let me go home and sit in front of my rocking chair and just waste away my days. Let me just pine away my day. Oh, you know, I'm broke. I can't do this. You know, I might as well not even go over there because I don't have this. And I don't see you received all that stuff. The devil is not so much concerned about your illness. He's not concerned about your illness. You know what the devil is concerned about? He's concerned about how you handle your illness. That's what he wants. Because I've seen some people who got ill, and they got on fire for God. And they turned the world upside down when they were sick. You know, we're going to look at Paul here in a second. He prayed 3 times for God to take away his thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was. Some kind of sickness, some kind of obstacle, some kind of impediment in his life. He prayed 3 times, not, Lord, take it away, but 3 intense times with fasting and prayer. Paul prayed, and God left it there. I like what Charles Stanley said. Charles Stanley said, Paul probably tried to bargain with God and say, God, if you just take this away, I'll witness to the world. God, if you just take this away, I'll write 27 epistles to churches. God, if you just take this away, I'll go to Rome and witness to Caesar. And God said, well, you're going to do it anyways, and I'm going to leave it right there. And Paul did exactly that. See, you know, we receive sometimes what goes along with that. Thank God that Job didn't receive all that foolishness that Satan was trying to bring in his life. You know, I was thinking about, or I was reading. Let me read to you this. In 1921, Albert Einstein won the Nobel Prize in physics. It was given to him not for the theories of relativity that he discovered, but for the law of photoelectric effect. This is heavy, so I'm reading some stuff that I don't probably know fully understand. The scientific law explained how and why some metals give off electrons after light falls on their surfaces. The discovery led to development of modern electronics, including the radio and the television. This brother was a genius. As I heard somebody say, he could book numbers without a pencil or a paper. No. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Brother was a genius. Won a Nobel Prize. Listen to this. When Albert Einstein was in grade school, his teachers told him he would never amount to anything. They told him that he would never amount to anything. What if Einstein received that? Now, I don't know if he was a Christian or not. That's not my point. But what if Einstein received that? I'm nothing. I'm going to amount to nothing. And if he received that, then he would have been nothing. And when we receive this junk that the devil brings in our life, and all the stuff that goes along with it, we are giving him the victory. We need to continue to trust God. We need to continue to put up the shield of faith and to quench all the flaming arrows of the wicked one, the arrow of regression. The second arrow that Satan shoots at us is what we call the arrow of suppression or suppression, and that is to make you impotent, to cause you to be powerless. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. and verse 31. Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired you to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Now you'll notice that I've said this was Peter and the disciples. Well, why did I say this was Peter and the disciples? Because in the Greek, when Jesus says, I have prayed for you, that Satan may, and Satan wants you to sift you, that word you is in the plural. And it means more than just Peter. He was saying this to the disciples, that Satan wanted them. Satan wanted to get them to crush them like wheat. Notice that word sift. I remember Carl, he did a sermon on this passage right here. And he was talking about the idea of when you take the wheat, you break it up in the pieces. And then you take the stone and you crush it. And then in the Old Testament, what they would do is take up the wheat and throw it up in the air, and the heavy stuff would fall and the chaff would blow away. Jesus is telling them, the devil doesn't want to break you into pieces. The devil doesn't want to crush you, but the devil wants to do those first two, and then he wants to hold you up and blow you in the wind. He wants you to become so impotent that you can't do anything for the Lord. He wants to take away your testimony. You know, one of the things that just broke my heart this week, and maybe some of you have read the story, but this pastor out in Colorado who is accused of having a relationship. This guy's not only the pastor, but he's the head of a big evangelical organization. Having a relationship with a gay man, and that this gay man said that they were having a relationship at least once a month, and then he went to him and bought drugs from him. I said, man, wow, you know, this guy was the pastor of a church, and then he was the head of this, I think, 30,000 people organization. 30 million, all right, organization. And here he is, his testimony. Now, whether this stuff is true or whether it's not true, because he's coming back denying the relationship part. He said, no, I did buy some methamphetamine from this guy. Now, I'm just figuring out, let me let that go. But you know, this is my point. That's what Satan wants to do. Satan not only broke this guy into pieces, whether it's true or not. You know, once again, I'm not going to get in. Whether it's true or not, Satan not only broke this guy in pieces. Look what he did. This guy got 4 or 5 kids. He crushed him. And now he's trying to... That's what he wants to do to you. Satan wants to stomp you in the ground. He wants to crush you and blow you away. Some of you have been broken to pieces. Where are you at this morning? You've been broken to pieces. Some of you have been crushed, but praise God, you haven't been blown away yet. You got a little bit of strength. Hang on there. And how do you overcome when Satan has crushed you, and when he has broke you to pieces? Look what Jesus said. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith faileth not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. Man, you got to turn to Jesus. When you are broken and crushed, go to Jesus. Let him pray for you. Take your request to him. Cry out unto the Lord. Oh, God! A lot of times we want to complain. And, you know, it was very interesting. Now, I'm going to preach a sermon on this, but on Wednesday night, we've been doing Bible geography. And we were following the path of the children of Israel and how that God led them down through the wilderness. And they got to this place called Marah. And the people of God began to complain because there was no water. They complained against God. They complained against Moses. They complained, complained, complained. And that's where God, you know, made the bitter water sweet. And then as we went to follow the journey, the next place where they went was Elim. And the Bible says in Elim, there was 60 wells of water and well-watered palm trees. And they were able to drink till their fill. And after class, somebody pointed this out to me. They say, Pastor, you know, I took a little gauge and I measured the distance between Marah and Elim. It was 5 miles. 5 miles. They started complaining. All they had to do, 5 more miles. That's all. And you can't even make it that far. Turn to God. Don't complain to him like the children of Israel, but cry out to God. Ask God to help you. You see, who is it? It's the devil. Wait a minute. Jesus, there's somebody at the door for you. The problem is, we want the answer to the door. Come on in. Come on in. We want to answer the door. When the devil comes knocking at our door, call Jesus, let him answer the door. The shield of faith, put up the shield of faith, turn to God in prayer. Yo, this is Christianity 101. Trust God like Job did. Pray to God and ask him to help you in this situation. Cry out to him, Lord, I need you like I've never needed you before. Help me, Lord, help me. I like the song, I Must Tell Jesus. All of my trials, I can't bear these burdens alone. In my distress, Jesus will help me. Jesus will help me, and Jesus alone. Man, we turn all other kind of ways, but we accept to Christ. Jesus said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. He desires to break you into pieces, to crush you, and blow you away. He said, but I've prayed for you. You better find how to get before God in prayer. You better let some saints know that you're hurting. Let some folk know that you're under attack so they can pray for you. You know, I understand that sometimes we are islands to ourselves and we deal with stuff by ourselves. But why do you think God gave prayer? God gave prayer so that folk could pray for you. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Man, if I'm going through something, I want folk praying for me. You don't know how much it means when I hear somebody standing up front here saying, you know, we pray for the pastor and his wife and his family. Lord, put a hedge of protection. Because I tell you what, man, my family has been under attack. And when I sit there and I hear somebody praying, you know the first thing I say? Boy, it sure could have been a lot worse than it is now. It could have been a lot worse than it is. Folk are praying. Jesus said, when Satan desires to sift you like wheat, he said, I've prayed for you that you might be strengthened. And then the third thing that I want to address this morning is this arrow of depression. We have these arrows that Satan shoots at us. The arrow of regression, the arrow of suppression, and the arrow of depression. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 8. Paul says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Notice what he says here. He said that there was this messenger of Satan who came to buffet me. To buffet me. The word buffet comes from the Greek word kalavizo. And listen to what it means. To strike with the fist. To give one blow with the fist. To mistreat. To beat with violence. Man, look at that. What did Satan come to do to Paul? He said he came to buffet me. He came to beat me down. Satan came to give me the beat down. Man, I tell you what. Sometimes it seems like you just start healing up and the beat down starts all over again. Satan, Satan came, get down. And you better stay down. Don't get up from there. The beat down. Satan was beating him down. And there's some folk here, man, that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to beat you down. He wants to beat you down in relationships. He wants to beat you down in your finances. He wants to beat you down in your body. He wants to beat you down in your mind. He just wants to beat you down and keep you down. Paul said, man, sometimes it seemed like, you know, I didn't know which way to turn. Somebody said, watch out for donkeys from the front, horses from the back, and human beings from all around. The beat down, man, it seemed like you start to get above the water and all of a sudden something else comes and just sweeps you back underneath again. Man, you're going under the beat down from Satan. Paul, he says here, verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You need to take refuge in God's grace. Hide behind this grace. For in my strength is made perfect in weakness. You need to take refuge in God's strength. In his grace, in his strength, look what he said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Take refuge in the power of Christ. Paul said, you know what? Satan was beating him down. Boom, boom, boom. The beat down. But what did he do? He put grace over him. He put the power of God over him. He put the power of Christ over him. So when Satan was beating him, who was Satan hitting? He was hitting God. He was hitting God. That's why God died. That's why Jesus died. He died to cover you so that you won't have to take that beat down. But what do? We step from underneath it and we take the beat down. I don't want to take the beat down. Do you want to take the beat down? No, I don't want to take the beat down. God already took it for you. And he wants to continue to take it for you. That whenever you allow yourself to rest in God's grace and in his power, he'll take those blows for you. And look what Paul concludes by saying. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. At my weakest point, when I've just been beat down by Satan, if I will find a way to just steal away and get into God's grace, I'll have that covering that I need. In the second, the choir is going to sing our hymn of invitation. But before they sing that hymn of invitation, I want us to meditate on what it means to be protected by God when we are under attack.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Shield of Faith, Part 3 from our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Shield of Faith, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Shield of Faith, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Shield of Faith, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, Looking for a Reason to Fight. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall. You don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.